I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The life, death, and legacy of Tom Thompson are featured in a great new documentary screening this weekend at the Vancouver International Film Festival. The film is called West Wind, The Vision of Tom Thompson. Its directors, Michelle Hoser and Peter Raymond, join me now. Despite a number of documentaries and a feature film on Thompson, this is a necessary film as it takes a wider look at Thompson's life and doesn't just focus on how he died and where he's buried. We learn about Thompson's early years, his art, and his legacy. We also ponder Thompson's art and what it means to the country and what's reflected in his art about Canada. Roy McGregor, who was on this program last year when his book on Thompson came out, is someone who's featured in this film. The movie screens at the Empire Granville Saturday at 6:45 p.m. and Sunday at noon. Peter Raymond is an award-winning filmmaker, journalist, and writer. He's done over 100 documentary films, including two favorites of mine, Flora, Scenes from a Leadership Convention, and History on the Run. Michelle Hoser is an award-winning documentary editor and director. She won one of two Geminis for her work on Mr. Raymond's Shake Hands with the Devil, The Journey of Romeo Dallaire. They co-directed the feature-length documentary Genius Within, The Inner Life of Glenn Gould. They joined me from Toronto. Please welcome to the Planta Online program Peter Raymond and Michelle Hoser. Good morning, Ms. Hoser.
Good morning.
And good morning, Mr. Raymond.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
so, Michelle, you're very welcome. What compelled you guys to make this movie?
Well, I think it's a better question for Peter Raymond because Peter, if you want to take over, he's been wanting to do this film for all of your life?
Yeah, I think so.
All of your filmmaking life?
I went to a summer camp near Algonquin Park here in Ontario and spent a lot of time on canoe trips and paddled the same rivers and camped in the same campsites as Tom Thompson, and he was very much part of the lore of Algonquin Park, and I think I read every book about him, and I've always kind of dreamed of making a film about him, and fortunately, a couple of years ago, we were able to piece together the money and get started, and then brought Michelle on board.
In terms of going to these places that you went to, Algonquin Park, Canoe Lake, and the sort, do they still look the same as when Thompson was there, I should say?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, when he was there, it was just shortly after the logging of the park, you know, so there was a lot of slash around the shorelines, and it wasn't actually as attractive as it is now. But he always found beauty in the obscure little corners of things. You know, he found beauty in a swamp that was, or some area of flooded land. But you can find the same views that he saw. You know, you can climb the same hills and look out on the same landscape. It's quite wonderful. There are some people who are kind of fanatics about this and try to locate every place where Thompson did one of his paintings.
Yeah. Michelle, my understanding is that there are three documentaries on Thompson. There's a feature film on him. What's different in this movie?
When we first started this this film, of course, we've watched everything that was out there, and, you know, Tom Thompson had a mysterious death. And a lot of films deal with the death part because mysteries, of course, sell very well. And it is such a great mystery. And I think when Peter approached Peter to help work on this film, I think what was missing is really looking at his art and looking at his contribution, not only in the art world, but in our Canadian cultural world. Where does he stand? How does he fit in? How does he fit in vis-a-vis our identity? I mean, he was around during the World War One. You know, artists come in our world at a really specific time, and I think they speak to us collectively. And I think when Peter approaches and we were talking about, you know, how to deal with this film, we really wanted to focus on art. And yes, you still have to deal with the mystery because there is like the elephant in the room, but the focus really was on his contribution to our cultural world.
Michelle, the dramatization of Thompson, in the film you have a guy, I guess, who plays the part of Thompson, of sketching and painting at these various places. Who plays him?
Interesting. His name is James Vander. I don't remember his last name. He's an artist himself. He's a painter. He studied at OCAD. He actually does prosthetic for kids, so knows how to mix colors very well. And he was a great help, not only in working with us, out in the field, but he helped create the paintings that we had to reproduce, of course, for the shoot.
I was wondering about those paintings. What happened to them afterwards?
They're at White Pine Pictures. They're
hanging on the walls of our office here.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, yeah. And then they look pretty. From what I saw in the movie, they look pretty good to what Thompson.
Yeah, they were. That we did a lot of work trying to make sure they looked right, the colors proportionally. All the audience eyes are going to be on these paintings, and we wanted to make real sure that they looked exactly what are in the mind's eye. And as I said, James does do prosthetics for kids, so knows how to match skin tone really well. So he really were helpful. And we had a great art department. Tim Luke and Damien Zook all contributed to helping us get all of Tom's artwork out in the field with us.
When you have to shoot his paintings, you have to take, I guess, images of the paintings for the film. Does that pose a certain problem for the filmmaker? I'm assuming you have to light the room that it's in, and do they prevent you from doing that, whoever owns these paintings now?
A lot of Tom Thompson's paintings in the film are scans. You can get very high-quality digital scans now of these paintings, and you're able to do moves on them in the editing equipment digitally. So in the old days, I've been making films for 40 years now, you did have to, put the painting on an easel and light it and worry about reflection and do the pans and zooms with a film camera. It's much easier now using scans.
Yeah, and the scans are perfectly done.
Yeah, very high quality, very high DPI, high resolution. So, and we were getting scans in from all over the country and beyond, because his paintings are scattered across Canada.
Yeah, and who owns them? Are these
private collections?
They are.
We have, some are the National Gallery of Canada, the Art Gallery of Ontario, the McMichael. We've got quite a few scans of paintings from private collections as well. We're really indebted to private collectors. There's many, many Tom Thompson paintings in this film, over 130, I think, paintings. Many of them have never been seen before because they're in private collectors' hands.
I mentioned off tape that Roy McGregor was on for his book last year, and he's featured in this film. We hear in the movie these tapes of people talking about, I can't remember the guy's name now, who was talking about having to go collect Thompson's body after it was found in the lake.
Mark Robinson.
Yeah. Are those McGregor's tapes?
No, these are tapes that were done back in the 50s and early 60s. Some are in the Algonquin Park archives. Some, again, are in private hands of people who live on Canoe Lake. And Roy had actually not heard those recordings himself. Some of them have been transcribed, but we were able to get access and permission to use them for the first time. So they're quite extraordinary. These are people who knew Tom Thompson.
I mean, it's just compelling to listen to.
It's extraordinary. You're taken right back there in time from these voices that are, beyond the grave.
Yeah, for me, he's sort of the supporting character.
Yeah, indeed.
Mark Robinson, you really get a dear to him.
Yeah. Michelle, how do you guys work as co-directors? Did you divide the film up, or how does that work?
Oh, you're asking me? Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, Peter and I have been working, I think it's 10 years now.
Yeah, something like that.
And, in the beginning, I was his editor. And through the years, you sort of create a process. I know his strong points, he knows mine, we know each other's weaknesses and what we each like and what we dislike. And so you work together in that way. Peter's got many projects on the go as well. So in the edit room, I work on my own, and then he comes in, and I show him sequences and stuff like that. The filming, he did a bit in the beginning, and then we sort of tag team on that as well.
Michelle's being very modest here. She did most of the directing in the field and most of the interviews, and because, as she said, I've got a lot of other projects, drama projects, other documentaries, etc. She did most of the work, actually.
Really? Yeah.
But
did you?
But
and all of the editing.
Right.
Yes. I did a lot, but Peter's got a very strong sense of what he wants, what he likes, what he dislikes, and when I do a lot of the work, it's very present in my mind.
Do you guys collect art yourselves?
Yeah, I wish I could afford it.
Yeah.
I have a few Group of Seven and Tom Thompson prints on the walls, right? But it's hard to own. I do have a bit of art, friends of mine's paintings.
Yeah. My understanding is that if people can't get to the film festival this weekend, they can watch this on television later on?
It will be on Bravo. They were one of our supporters right from the start, and Knowledge Network, the public broadcaster in British Columbia, has broadcast rights as well. So, yeah, if they don't make it on Saturday evening or Sunday, it will eventually be on television.
Yeah. Michelle, did you think of what a filmmaker can learn from Thompson's art?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question.
Good question.
I have to be honest, I was very fearful in the beginning when we started this film because we didn't have a lot of material to work with. There's not much. Tom Thompson didn't do a lot of writing. There's not a lot of visual material, but there's all of his art. And I thought, wow, how are we going to make this work in film? And, you know, it sort of came alive in the edit room, and you learned a lot about his process and what it takes to be an artist. And I think David Thompson really says it succinctly when he talks about being present in the moment and being in there and being extremely focused. And I think when an artist does that, it sort of takes you out of time and space and brings the art or the work and makes it timeless. And allows us, an audience, to look at his art 100 years later and appreciate it, and it still is vibrant and it still speaks to us in the same way as it probably did 100 years ago. And I think that anyone who are artists or anyone who works that way can really sort of understand his process and understand what Thompson went through. And I think for me as a filmmaker, you really appreciate that, and you understand how difficult it is to be present and in the moment and really get lost in your work.
You mentioned David Thompson. Is he related to Tom Thompson at all?
Well, no, I don't think so. Ken Thompson, his father, did a lot of research in Scotland on ancestry and hoped that there was some connection. Maybe there is distantly in the hills of Scotland, but not directly. David was very, very helpful to the production of this film, the creation of this film, both doing the interview with us. He's very passionate and knowledgeable about Tom Thompson, and again, in allowing us to use many Tom Thompson paintings that he and his father collected over the years. Paintings, as I said, that have not been seen in public before.
He got quite emotional in the interviews, didn't he?
He does. I was amazed, really, how knowledgeable he was of Tom Thompson and how passionately he cared. But I think he identifies in some way with Tom Thompson, you know, this quixotic individual who's out there. And touched us very deeply, too. I think there's something about Thompson's work that's so unique, so different, so special, so direct. It's different than any other Canadian painting.
How do you think he died, Michelle?
That's a big question. You know, in the beginning I thought it was an accident, but hearing Mark Robinson, you wonder. You know, you wonder if there was a mysterious death. I don't know if we'll ever find out the truth. I think what also keeps this mystery alive at present is the fact that he died so young. And he died, more importantly, in the prime of his talent. And could you just imagine what he would have produced if he was still alive? And I think that's the biggest threat, is that he was taken from his art so young.
And you, when you're at Canoe Lake, you obviously feel him there?
Oh, unbelievable. You know, when I first went there, I didn't realize Canoe Lake was so small.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there, they each have a story about Tom Thompson. You really feel his presence there. And they each, you know, they have all the books, they have the paintings, they have the writings. They'll tell you, oh, they think Northern River is painted here. They think, oh, look at this view. That's probably where he painted that one. And in terms of where the body lies, let it be the lake, let it be at least, I think the spirit of Tom Thompson is really felt in the lake. And I think that will never go away.
And do you think, Peter, that we understand Canada a little bit better, having looked at Thompson's work or viewed it?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly this part of Canada, and more and more, you know, his work kind of represents Canada abroad. People know about Canada through our art, our films, our paintings. It's the spirit of the individual. It's the spirit of the solitary white pine, you know, out there all alone, bending but not breaking against the wind. I think this is a lot of what Canada and Canadians are all about.
Are you guys working on another film?
We're trying to finish this one so we can show it at the Vancouver Film Festival on Saturday.
Yeah.
Michelle's right now in the cutting room doing the final color correct on all these extraordinarily colorful paintings. So we haven't been able to really catch our breath and think about the next film.
And the color is, of course, very important.
Colorist
has spent many hours going through all the paintings. He visited the galleries to make sure that he's spot on, and it's looking really, really nice.
Yeah. You know, Peter, you directed two of my favorite documentaries, History on the Run and Flora.
Oh, my God.
You're
an old fellow.
I signed those out of the library in high school many times.
Flora McDonald one.
Flora McDonald, 1976.
Yeah.
Why is it we don't see very many political documentaries nowadays?
Well, that's a good question. It's,
you know, especially after the 80s, you know.
Very difficult to get those sorts of films financed these days. And, in fact, it's very difficult to get any documentary films financed in Canada these days. This film
including this one,
which has been a struggle.
Yeah, can I just interject?
Sure.
It works very hard to, these films take a considerable size in budget, and Peter worked extremely hard to get the budget together in order to get this film together.
The last bit of money came from a private corporation just a couple of weeks ago. In fact, a significant percentage of the budget for this film came from private individuals, philanthropists, art lovers, foundations, and corporations. So it's harder and harder to make these types of films, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on this one.
Thank you.
From what I've seen so far, it's just a great movie and a necessary one. Good luck with it.
Thanks very much. Hope to see you
in
Vancouver.
The movie is called West Wind, The Vision of Tom Thompson. It screens this Saturday at 6:45 p.m., Sunday at noon, at the Vancouver International Film Festival. VIFF.org is the website for more information, and also look for it on television shortly. The film's directors, Michelle Hoser and Peter Raymond, on the line from Toronto in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.